You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings, and my guest this morning is going to encourage you, I'm sure, in great ways. I want to introduce to you Pastor Steve Mays. He has served as the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel South Bay in Gardena, California for over 32 years. His book is called Overwhelmed by God and Not Your Troubles. Your trials are great, but God is greater. Good morning, Pastor Steve.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Thank you so much. I think that this is a great topic all year long, but I think even especially now as we're getting ready to head into Easter, that whole season, let's get to that in just a few minutes. But first, I want to have you tell a little bit of your story because this kind of sets up beautifully where we want to go with our conversation.
I'd love to. Basically, it surrounds around my back. I fell at church some years ago and broke my back, broke my L5, and shattered it, so I had to go in for emergency surgery. And, you know, it did pretty well for about a year, year and a half, 2 years. And then one day I woke up, and it was just shattered. The fusion had broke. And so I had to go back in, went back in. They put 100 stitches in my back and 75 in my stomach. It was about almost a 10-hour operation. And they cleaned everything up, and things were doing pretty well for about a year. Then it happened, and that must have been just about 2012. And I got out of bed, and I couldn't walk. It was terrible. So I had to go back in again, and what happened was a pin popped out. And then they fixed it, another 100 stitches, another 2 weeks in the hospital, you know, 2 months recovering. But this time, a bone broke, and then I had to go back in. And so what happened for the next 7 months is it actually broke and popped pins for 4 months, about four different times. So I had four operations in 7 months, and I was in the hospital, so overwhelmed. And I just said, and then God just said to me, Stephen, why are you overwhelmed? And I said, God, that's why I hate you sometimes. I just cannot understand you. And the Lord said, well, why don't you be overwhelmed with me? And it hit me like a ton of bricks as a senior pastor that I was not being overwhelmed with the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. And so I found myself not only in pain, but now repenting. And that's where it really started to change my life.
That's that deeper realization that's almost like right there in the core of everything you are, when it's almost like we've let God down.
Yes.
That's awful.
I know. And here you are preaching and teaching to 9,000-10,000 people, and you realize that, you know, you haven't been doing what you've been preaching. And so it's just like the anger was all gone. I mean, it's like God took off the button forever. And during the midst of all this time, my daughter had been gone for, I think, 12 years. And her husband was murdered, and she walked away from Christ. I thought she'd come closer to him. But in reality, most people, 80% of people, walk away from God when something happens in their life. And so we hadn't talked, and when I finally got out of the hospital the last time, guess who walks in the front door? My daughter. And my heart was so broken, and I just wanted to be restored with her, and the vice versa. And so she kissed me, and then she held me, and she says, Dad, I'm home. And it's just, I was able to marry her, and able to stand before my congregation, and she's back in fellowship. So probably the greatest thing that's ever happened to me as a senior pastor is I was able to go after my daughter and win her back.
So with your own physical issues and everything that was going on there, was that the catalyst then for her to realize that she needed to come back and be
a part
of
it? It was. It's because she saw me change.
Yeah.
She saw right in front of her own eyes this guy who loved the Lord, but, you know, was strong, that he just became very tender. And I didn't care how she came back. I mean, God so taught me unconditional love because I had to accept what God was doing in my life. And so I realized, God, this is a good thing. And that's where I began to study and be overwhelmed with just how good God's been to me in my life. And so I just had to repent. And then I believe that God prepared her heart and God brought my heart. And then when she said that she wanted me to marry her, that was like the icing on the cake because, you know, we both offended each other over the years. And here this girl wants me, nobody else, to marry her. And it was just like God, you have done a great work.
I'm guessing there were a lot of tears for quite some time during all of that transition, huh?
It was hard. I mean, but, you know, I think sometimes God allows pastors to go through some of the most horrendous things so they can have more compassion for their people. Mm. You know, and so during that time, she took our grandkid away, and she said, "You're not worthy to be a grandchild and grandfather." And I thought, well, I brought you into the world. What's that mean? Yeah. And she said, "That doesn't count." Mm. So, I mean, like, I have dealt with so many grandparents who the kids use their child against now, holding back. And so, you know, things happen to us. Mm-hmm. And we're not insulated and we're not isolated. We go through hard times. But the question is, what are we going to do with it? And do we see God's hand in it? Mm. And I believe God never makes a mistake. And so this was the greatest thing he could have ever done in my life.
Well, we want to hear more about your story, Steve, because this is fantastic. I really want to ask you, too, why we run the other way sometimes. So when we come right back, we'll dig into that question and some more about your book. I'm talking with Pastor Steve Mays, and his book is Overwhelmed by God and Not Your Troubles. This is Faith Radio Mornings. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm talking this morning with Pastor Steve Mays. His book is called Overwhelmed by God and Not Your Troubles. Your trials are great. Here's the good news. God is greater. Pastor Steve, I've done it myself. We all do this. We know the answer is God. We know that the answer is right there in his book, in the Bible. But why? Why do we hesitate? Why are we reluctant? Why do we even resist or even run the other way? Even if we're strong Christians, sometimes we just go the wrong direction.
Well, look what he did with Jonah. I mean, God was able to put his finger on the one area of Jonah's life that he never wanted to talk about. And that was how prejudiced he really was. He said, "Jonah, go down to Nineveh." So Jonah went down to, you know, Tarshish. He went down to the ships. He went down to the bottom of the ship. He went down to the bottom of the ocean. So what's the story of Jonah? You're going to go down when you run away. And the whole issue is, if Jonah said to God, "You know, the problem with you is you forgive. And I know you want me to go to Assyria. I know you want me to lead these people back to you. But I don't want the Assyrians in heaven. I don't want them there. They don't deserve to be there." And God knew this man was a prophet, but he was a very self-righteous prophet. He only wanted certain people in heaven. So God has a tendency to put his fingers on your life, on my life, and touch the area that oftentimes we hold back. If we let God do that and we surrender like Jesus did at the cross, then it's going to be a phenomenal relationship. If I begin to swing like Peter did, then I'm going to be in the flesh every single time. And so I believe that there comes a time in your life that you have to make a decision. Are you going to surrender? Are you going to keep swinging? And I think that when we run away, we're just saying to God, "I don't want to deal with this issue." I think that's why people have such a hard time when all of a sudden their loved ones die. They get so angry. And what did Martha say? "If you would have been here, my brother would not have died." I mean, we accuse God so quickly. And it's just sad when you think about it, that he's the only one reaching out and we're the ones constantly running away.
Yeah, I think it's difficult for us to really grasp the sovereignty of God and to just lay it all down and say, "God, life or death, it's all in your hands." And I do that, and then I pick it right back up again. It's really this constant process for me.
It is for me, too. I mean, even Nehemiah, he said that he had to get going to build the walls of Jerusalem. But he said to King, "I'm going to pray to God that God changes the king, Xerxes." Because he knew that God held the king's heart. And so the right way is to go to God, asking God to speak to people. The way we do it is we go right to the people. So we don't want to bring God into our lives, because either he says no or he says wait, and we are not very patient people. And so if I begin to really ask God to get into my life, then I'm going to surrender. Then I'm going to see some of the greatest growth in my life as a Christian. And ultimately, that's what I really want.
You talk in chapter 7 about being overwhelmed by God's holiness. And this is a word that a lot of people shun. They don't want to hear it. It's old school. It's something our grandparents maybe talked about more than we do. But you talk about holiness and how this is really key in bringing a real change to our lives. You even say revival.
You're right. Because of the fact that, you know, there's his way and there's my way. And I really have come to grips with this in my own heart, that if I am going to constantly be, you know, saying no to God, and how what I mean by that is that if God says, forgive your daughter, and I say, I can't, and the Lord says, forgive your daughters, and I won't, then I have allowed Satan to tint my life. So now my conscience is not pure. It's defiled, because I'm now looking through this conscience that's darkened because of sin. Now, I don't call it sin. I just say, well, I don't want to. But in reality, every time I say no to God, it is sin. So one day, I'm looking out my conscience, and it's dirty. I can't see. So I begin to make decisions that I think is right, but they're not right. Then one day, I get my heart washed with the water of God's word. My conscience becomes crystal clear. The glass becomes crystal clear, and I can't believe the decisions I've made. I made them in sin. So here I am, a senior pastor, unwilling to forgive my daughter, and God has to say to me, Stephen, will you forgive her for me? Well, yes, I'll do it for you. And so, I mean, that's pretty sad, when really all I had to do was start forgiving, but the hurt was so deep, and I felt like she had really violated some issues. But again, it was more of a conditional love. I should have loved her the way that God loved me, unconditionally. Mm-hmm. So at the very end, I didn't care how she came back. I didn't make a difference if she was, you know, one way or another way, or if she was married or living with somebody. It didn't make a difference. I just wanted her back, and I knew that God would work everything out.
And he literally had to break you.
Right, exactly. And that was a sin. So why wouldn't a Christian want to be sanctified or set apart or pure before God? And the problem is that the Bible says he that has his hope purifies himself. So if I believe that Christ is coming, why would I want to be having fornication? I mean, that'd be a bad day. Mm-hmm. That'd be a terrible day if all of a sudden you're in a relationship with another gal. You're not married, and you're sleeping with her, and all of a sudden you hear the trumpet blow. I mean, that's not a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're committing adultery, it's not a good day. Or you're smoking a joint, it's not a good day.
Yeah.
So what is going to keep me from that sin? It's going to be integrity, but more than that, it's going to be a work of God in your heart, purity.
And it comes down to this love for God that I don't know we'll ever be able to attain this. You know, I just think, oh, I want to love you more. I want to understand you more. I want to see you. I want to understand and just get to know you. But it starts really with God's word, doesn't it?
It does. And I think the best thing I can say to your people is that there is a great story in the Old Testament, I think around 2 Kings 5, something like that, or 6. And as Elijah feeding, or actually about ready to have some lunch with his prophets. He had a prophet school. And so they were going to surprise him. They made a real cool lunch, and someone put wild berries in, and it was filled with poison. And so they begin to dump it out, and Elijah said, stop. And he said, add corn. And so they added some corn or wheat, and he said, add some more wheat. And they added some more. He said, add some more wheat. Well, eventually Elijah said, fine, let's eat. And so they ate, no one got sick. And so the moral of the story is that what will drive out the poison in your life? The Word of God. So I can't deal with the poison. In fact, sometimes it gets worse. But if I just open my Bible, the Bible is going to drive out the poison. All I have to do is flip the switch, and the light is going to drive out the evil. So what do I stay away from? The Word of God and the light. Because I have other things in mind. And the Bible says that, you know, our deeds are evil, and they did not want the light because their deeds were evil. That goes back to holiness again. I just want to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I love people, it means I have a purity about my life that's sincere.
So, Pastor Steve, if you had just an elevator ride with somebody that you can tell they are just overwhelmed, their life seems like it's at the end. I mean, we've all had losses in our life, loved ones, and just some incredible stories. If you had just that 30-second time frame, where would you go with that? What would you recommend to them? How would you encourage them?
I think I would just say simply that you have to give God time and you have to give God space. And has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you? And a lot of times people come in and they say, well, I left another church and are coming to your church. And I'll say to them, at the other church, did you ever hear the Holy Spirit speak to you about leaving? And every single time, yes. So now they threw you out, kind of, right? Yes. And I'm really bitter. I said, well, why should you be bitter? You were disobedient to the Holy Spirit. If you would have listened to the Holy Spirit, that would have never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the same thing to the guy in the elevator. What has God been showing you in his spirit? And I think that's where people have to stop. And they have to say, you know, yes, you're right. I know that God has been speaking to me about my unforgiveness, about my bitterness, about my resentment. And I probably would start there. And I would say, then let's turn that over to Christ.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a personal favorite scripture that just helps keep you focused on that too?
Probably that one that says, if your heart condemns you, you have one greater. And if your heart does not condemn you, then you have access to God. So either way, I'm covered.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm condemned and overwhelmed in guilt, then God is going to overwhelm me with his goodness. And if I'm not, and I'm doing great, then I'm going to be able to have access to God. And so in Deuteronomy 33, there's a great verse, says, as your day is, so shall your strength be. And I think that's the key. As your day is, as your day and my day are today, doing all the things we have to do, how are we going to do it? Well, as your day is, so shall your strength be. God will give you what you need to get through this day.
Well, I so appreciate you putting your story into this book and then just sharing with us what God has really shown you, too, as you've really drawn closer to him. My guest this morning has been Pastor Steve Mays, and he's the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel South Bay in Gardena, California. And his book is called Overwhelmed by God and Not Your Troubles. Your trials are great. God is greater. Blessings to you, Pastor, and just keep up the good work and keep growing.
Thank you so much. Great talking to you again.